Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jack.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we come to you live every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we also replay our programs on the Prophecy Zone Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio. We have a website, propheticnews.com. And there are hundreds of great articles there that will help you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We also have a YouTube channel, and that YouTube channel is Jonah, T for Tom, 48. And you'll find some very interesting videos there. And I hope that we can help you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we give him all the glory today, and we thank him for everything that he's done for us. So our guest today is going to be author James Sundquist, and he has authored two books by about Rick Warren and his global peace plan, and who's driving the purpose-driven church. But today we're going to be talking about making merchandise of men's souls, and James has made a new DVD that will be out shortly, and I know that will bless you, so we'll be talking about that today. There's so many things that have been going on in the world around us, and we know that we are in perilous times. The Bible says in Galatians 3:1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? And we see that so many of the church, so many people in the church have become deceived by false doctrines. And the love of money, the Bible says, is the root of all evil. And I find it very, very alarming when I see Christians only doing things to get something back for themselves, and that should never be our motivation. We should always be motivated by love, because that's the first and the greatest commandment, is to love our neighbor as ourselves. So we want to be treated the way we treat other people. So let's try to remember that. And it takes a long time, really, to get all the false doctrines that we've learned over the years. It takes a long time to get those things out of your mind and out of your spirit. And I'm still relearning so much, because I was in the Word of Faith movement for the first 15 years that I was a Christian. And I've been out now about 15 years, and I praise God for that. Also in Galatians 4:16, there's a scripture that says, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And it is quite alarming to me. I notice that I get more comments on my YouTube channel than anywhere else. And I get so many comments from people that they get very, very angry if you say anything against their favorite idol preacher. And I try not to bear false witness against anyone. I just will take something that is a fact or a direct quote, but I don't make things up. And I'm sure my guests don't make things up, but we're really reporting to you the story. We're reporting to you the false teachings, the false statements that other people are making, because they can lead you astray. We see so many things going on in the world. We see that political assassinations, and I myself, I am not a believer at all in political assassinations. I believe that if someone has committed a crime, they should be brought to trial before a jury and found guilty or not guilty. But it's a terrible precedent that we're setting. But there was also an interesting story that was in the news this week, that they actually did convict a doctor and three abortion clinic workers of murder. Babies were being born alive, and they were killing them after they were born. So it's about time. Of course, there's so many millions of abortions in this country, and it's a very, very sad state of affairs. I know myself, I've experienced this firsthand when a few weeks ago I was having some bird seed sent from Canada to the U.S., and I was having it sent by UPS. I had to fill out a big, long form, and I had to give my Social Security number just to get this shipment going. And then the bird seed was confiscated by the FDA, and someone called me and told me that they were taking my bird seed to a government laboratory for further testing. I couldn't believe it. I said, I cannot believe that this is actually happening, but it is happening. Our freedoms and our privacy is slowly being taken away. Also, when you get anything from another country, whether it's a box of candy or some cookies or whatever, you have to give prior notice to the FDA that this package is coming in. Otherwise, it'll most likely be confiscated. So what kind of a world are we living in? It's a world where we have to get closer to God. We have to know who God is, who Jesus is, and stay in the Word of God so we're not deceived, because truly, truly, we are in perilous times. So I'm going to bring my guest on the air now, James Sundquist. Hi, James. How are you?
What a blessing to be on your show again. We just have one sequel after another, and they always seem to catch a fire.
It's very, very true. It's very true. Things are happening so fast around us that I'm amazed myself every day when I read the news, and I can't believe that we're seeing what the Bible has predicted. It really is an amazing day that we live in. But I want to thank you for coming on today, and I know that you have a new DVD that will be coming out shortly, Making Merchandise of Men's Souls. And I think that title is so appropriate for today, because we're seeing more and more of that, as there is a separation between the true believers and the apostate church. So would you tell us a little bit about your new DVD, and when will it be out?
Yes, well, it was supposed to be out by the end of this month. It's being produced by Cutting Edge Ministries, and he's headed up by David Bay. They're down in South Carolina. And he called me up to ask me if I'd like to do a film for them. They've had a number of guests down there. And then they also distribute some great projects that they didn't actually film themselves. For example, Carol Matriciana's new video on mysticism in the church in the last days, etc. is mind-blowing. I don't know if you've got to see that.
I haven't seen that, no.
And she would be a great guest.
Yeah.
In fact, I owe you, I apologize, because you asked for some more guests, and I've got a bag full of them for you. And
good.
I would get them on Gianna Hayes' New World Order Disorder radio program.
Oh.
And they've all been great. They haven't all been on yet, but I encourage you to get Joel Richardson, get Carol on your show, Matriciana, Joanna Michelson, Robert Morey. I got on Dr. Robert Morey. He was just on her show. Grant Jeffries, I think, I asked him if he would be. And so I don't want you to have a shortage of great guests that all apply to the end times prophecy.
Yes.
And the news. I was going to talk about specifically my making merchandise of men's souls right away, but it's hard to talk about that without being right on top of what the news is. So even though we're going to talk about that, there's a few things going on in the news. I was catching the tail end of what you were talking about. I wasn't specifically for sure which particular event happened this week, but I maybe how long has you've been going on this morning now, or this afternoon?
We just came on at 1.
Oh, you just came on. It's virtually impossible to not have the news, be talking about the news today, where something's going on in the news about Islam, no matter what else is going on in the world. They are somehow in the news.
Yeah.
Ahead of, if not. And so I don't, and I'd also hope maybe you'd have Ann Barnhart. I don't personally know her. I just know that she's one of the people that went through all of the Quran on YouTube and actually read all of the scriptures about the child, the license for child abuse, molestation, and all of the horrific things that are authorized by the Hadith and the Quran. And she just read right out of there. And then after she read it, then she burned that page out of the Quran. So she's not real popular in that world right now. And
no.
So she's one you might consider. And Robert Morey, just to his credit, and without cowardice, he just recently, bravely, on Gianna's New World Order Disorder radio program, was very strong in his language of calling what Rick Warren is doing as a global peace plan diabolical. And he's a scholar and has written books and debated top Muslims in the world, actually.
Oh.
He also has to be under high security protection. And he can't even disclose where he goes to church, where he's a member, because of in fear for his life, and because of Islam, he's come against it. The religion of peace is out for his head.
Well, it's amazing to me that there was a commercial this morning on one of our local networks, a woman wearing the headdress. Muslim headdress, and she was saying, well, I was on an airplane and people were trying to judge me and they don't know the truth that our religion is a religion of peace. And so they're having these public service announcements now to try to convince people that it is a religion of peace, but of course we know it isn't. And it's really amazing what's happening in the countries like Libya, Syria, Egypt, what is going on? Why are they taking these leaders down?
You know, it's one thing to have the absolute truth on something, but you can also, I was outside yesterday and I can't absolutely prove there was a skunk in the neighborhood, but I walked all around and I smelled it and there's a smoking gun. And what's going on in Libya right now, that, you know, we've always championed democracy.
Yes.
But democracy in a Muslim world, when you have more than a majority, it's not even a matter of 50% or a supermajority like we have in the Senate. What we have is a majority that's even greater than that. If you have in the 90s, sometimes higher, percent of a country that's Muslim, and you have democracy, which we are championing and losing soldiers' lives all over the world in order to rescue these countries from a dictator. And so you go from the frying pan into the fire.
Yeah.
With a very possibly a worse situation. That doesn't always happen because Turkey, though it's almost everybody is Muslim there, where the seven churches of Asia were in Revelation, where you know, we always talk about the book of Galatians. Well, Galatia was a province in the eastern portion, approximately, of Turkey. And here we have what was the heart of the early church to a great extent in the Middle East. There are Christians in Turkey, but primarily Muslim.
Yeah.
And they have been somewhat of a secular state and even an ally of the United States, at least recently. We've been against, we were in World War One. They weren't our ally either. But so as a whole, that's been happening. But there's a great trend for that country more and more to actually fall in line with the rest of the Islamic countries, where the Muslim Brotherhood and Al-Qaeda, et cetera, were the more radical elements are in place there. And so it's, and prophecy-wise, it's only a matter of time before the things completely melt down and disintegrate. And you don't often see the secular media reporting on the millions of people that aren't Muslim that are killed in just a country like the Sudan.
Right. Yeah.
And you get some mention here and there, but it isn't like at the top of the list for coverage. You know, you occasionally get stories on the Christians being killed and persecuted, which did make it into the news in what was going on, I guess it was in Egypt, the Coptic Christians there being persecuted and killed. But Obama has a way of kind of spinning that and not actually identifying them as Christians. And that's rather sad, and that doesn't help their cause. And so whether or not it's going to be soon in a country like Libya or further down the road when one country after another actually becomes Muslim, a brotherhood, and that's really, that's critical, because once that's all in place, there are no more countries that ostensibly would side with the U.S. or even be neutral. They pretty
that's
much
true.
Every nation surrounding Israel will in fact be in place to invade it.
Yeah,
and you have the end, and that's part three of my making merchandise of men's soul. Which is the confiscating the land of Israel, the promised land. And I emphasize to a great deal that East Bank and all of the parts of that are actually the true occupied territory of the enemy. And part two is devoted to the confiscating of church properties, local churches, and bank accounts by major denominations such as the Assemblies of God, Christian Missionary Alliance, and the Episcopal Church, and where in all the lawsuits that are going on for these top headquarters peoples and districts to seize the property. And I've been helping a friend in even right up in the Northeast here, whose church is in the middle of a lawsuit by the Christian Missionary Alliance that sued them to take their local property. And, of course, they're doing it in the name of Jesus, of course. and so they have no fear of the scripture that, that you know, where Jesus gave the strongest warning there is in scripture, was actually toward these. He gave more mercy toward the, Sodom and Gomorrah than he did toward how he described these so-called Christians that did things in Jesus' name, where he said that he wasn't talking to the world. He was talking about to effectively what would be Christian leaders and pastors and administrators that are, he said, when they're saying, didn't we do all these things in your name? And his response was, "Depart from me, you wicked and accursed. I never knew you." Not, you just backslid a little if you just only repent. Would that not be the most frightening thing that you could hear from the Jesus' words when you stand before him?
Yes. I definitely would not want to hear that.
And so that's why it's so important that we all examine ourselves daily to be sure that we're in the faith, as Scripture calls us to do. And that's what I do, and that's why I wrote the book. Part one of Making Merchandise of Men's Souls, and you can actually go to the trailer now and see about a five-minute trailer on it. But part one's devoted to the all of the making merchandise of men's souls that's gone into psychotherapy versus scripture. And, so that's the three divisions. It's in three parts, and it's each one's about an hour long. So it's they can do things with DVDs now, so rather than have to have a whole library, I think it'll be on two CDs, but it'll be one package.
Yes.
And I'll, if you don't mind me telling your listeners, Susan, where you can see the trailer, can I read the URL to you?
Okay.
So let me find one really quick here. If you go to Facebook, and I read off the letters, I hate to do it so with all these numbers, but if you were to type it in this Google search or type it on Facebook, Making Merchandise of Men's Souls, comma, Cutting Edge Ministries, it'd probably come up. But in any case, the actual URL is https://www.facebook.com/video/video.pPaulHHappyPaul, then a question mark, and then V Victor, and then an equal sign, and these numbers, 252-770-699-2276 is the URL that will bring it up. Now, I'm just for the fun of it going to see, hopefully, if I go to Facebook, whether or not you can do what I said and have it come up. And, and there's some, you can put comments on there too. If we always love that. Hope you don't lose.
So they can go to your Facebook page. Is your Facebook page available to anybody?
Oh yeah, that's even an easier.
Find you on Facebook.
What am I thinking? Yeah, there's a wall there. It's posted on the wall. That's a lot easier way. Thank you, Susan.
Yeah.
That's why they pay you the big bucks to do this radio show.
Oh yes, yes. James Sundquist, that's S-U-N-D-Q-U-I-S-T, and you can find him on Facebook, but he also has a website, Perfect Peace Plan. Com, and then you have
it's not,
your other...
The trailer's not on our site yet, I believe it or not. This is happening so fast. I'm going to put
yeah.
it up as soon as this is officially they can ship the product, which we're a couple weeks away from them shipping. But if you go to cuttingedge.org, you might be able to order it now and be one of the first to get one. But you'll want to see the trailer. Did you see the trailer yet, Susan?
Yes, I did. Yes, it was very, very good, very well done.
Was
It'll
it
be
clear
interesting.
What it's about?
Pardon?
Was it clear what it's about?
Yes, it was. It was clear. Yeah, I mean, of course, it made you want more. You know, the trailer was so short that I wanted more, but yeah, it was great. I think that that will make for some good television for people. You know, if you're looking for something interesting to watch or even something, a good Christmas present for someone. It's very powerful, I think, when you have a visual aid with script. And most of us learned how to read with pictures, so pictures
right.
are important.
That's how Apple, that Steve Jobs' company, was launched. It was they used what they call icons, which are clicking pictures rather than having to type a bunch of code and remember the code.
Yeah.
Remember those days?
Phonics. Back in the day when I don't know, we hardly spent anything on education, and we actually came out of school and we could read. So not like today, but I found it interesting in Libya that after they murdered Gaddafi, they put in someone that said, now we're going to have Sharia law. Well, that doesn't make it any more give people any more freedom in that country.
Well, they just exchange one dictatorship for another one.
Sure.
But the danger, you can have a dictatorship and they totally oppress those people, but they basically leave other countries alone. But you get
yeah.
law in there, you're going to have all these fanatics hook up with all the other, their brothers that are the other fanatics, and
yes.
you don't need necessarily even a majority. You just have enough people to, after all, with Nazi Germany, they've switched Heil Hitler now with Allah Akbar.
Yeah.
And that only took a small percentage to take over that nation, turn it into a dictatorship, and then become a World War II. And as you know, the Hitler worked close with the Mufti of Jerusalem to form an alliance and basically carry out, you know, where they put these patches on the Jews.
Yes.
Carry out the obliteration and extermination of the Jews. Basically, Hitler would take care of Europe, and this Mufti and the Muslims would take care of the eastern half of what was the Roman Empire. So you could really easily see how an argument is made how the beast and the eastern and western divisions of the Roman Empire are the two legs of the Nebuchadnezzar statue. In the modern times, that you have two legs, and here you have that merging and that alliance formed. So if you can get those countries to sign on, Sharia law is really the path to get there. And as you know, the Muslim religion requires that once you take over a land, that it's irreversibly your land. So you have to do
right.
all you can to get that land back, and that includes Palestine. And so you have two colliding religions that are colliding in, over that little piece of real estate about the size of New Jersey.
Yes.
And so you couldn't have it more clearly spelled out. And as horrifying as I knew Islam was and what they've done, There's an interesting other news development. This is more recent than even what I wrote in the documentary, but I was watching, first of all, yesterday on the news was this whole uproar about these Muslims that want to have their own prayer room in a Catholic university. And I was very fascinated with that story, and it was on Fox News. You probably know about it. They're trying to get this happening in a Catholic university, and I'm just amazed at the gall that they would try to sue in order to get that. It's because you would not be able to put a Jewish star inside of a Muslim university.
Oh, no.
No. You couldn't even get admitted to a Muslim university if you're a Jew, and let alone do it in a foreign, in a Muslim land. Go to or could the imagine a Jew hanging the Star of David inside of a Muslim university?
Oh,
or
yeah, sure.
It's so hypocritical. It's unbelievable.
Really?
If they're trying to get their shoehorn their way in there to get clamor for these rights they feel that they have, they don't give any to a quarter to any of us Christians or Jews in their nations.
That's true.
But do they demand it here? And that we're bigots and hate mongers because we would dare suggest that they should not be able to do that. So nothing seems to be wanting to hold them back, and there you have it. So that really, really was amazing that they would try to do that. I mean, if they do that in a private, supposedly Christian university, although there's another argument whether Catholic's Christian, but...
Yeah, right.
To Muslims, there's no distinction between Protestant and Catholics, really.
Yes. Well, to most people, there isn't. They just think it's another Christian church, which we know it's not. But.
Well stated. I want to come back in a little bit to another topic, but I wanted to address that. And of course, I mentioned Ann Barnhart. When I saw the kind of things that were being done by IMOMs and what is promoted and what's actually written in their documents about the abuse of children that's actually authorized, and I won't get more graphic than that. You have to go to see Ann Barnhart's presentation, then you'd get a clear picture. You can find her on YouTube as well.
Okay.
But you better be prayed up and put your full armor of God on when you view this thing, because it is so horrific. And that how Rick Warren can think that he can form a religion, form an alliance, or promote his global peace plan with Muslims is so staggeringly unbelievable. I'm still picking myself up off the pieces of me on the floor when I see what's going on. So that was one other thing that happened. Let's see, what I want to do, there is another thing that was on Fox News. Well, first this happened some weeks ago, or months, actually it wasn't weeks, it was just last month I think it happened. I'm not absolutely sure, I have to check, but there was a thing about this Chaz Bono being on...
Oh, yes.
The
girl.
Transgender kind of thing.
Yeah.
Being on this dancing competition on TV.
Yes.
And this doctor, Keith Ablow, was on Fox News saying that he was totally against this because he said that people would model their behavior after one another, and he went toe-to-toe with the American Psychiatric Association, of which he was a member, and then he resigned because of this.
Wow.
Because he he rightfully made his argument. In fact, the whole New Testament is basically a book about what happens if you have false teachers coming into your midst. People are going to, quote unquote, model their behavior after one another or beliefs. So the Apostle Paul and the other apostles went out of their way to spend most of their time with the doctrine of separation and marking and exposing these people. And so I wrote this letter to Dr. Keith Ablow. I wrote it just this morning.
Oh.
And by the way, I haven't let you talk very much.
Oh, that's okay. I'm listening. I'm learning from you.
I wrote to Fox and Friends and Keith Ablow. I asked him, so I saw your segment this morning about the New Jersey couple who named their kids Hitler and Aryan Nation. In the state of New Jersey, the state came and took their kids away.
Yes.
From them, the actual officials for the state removed their children. And if it becomes permanent, those kids are put up for adoption. And I say I fully agree these children should be taken by the state. But then to be consistent, you would have to then remove all children named Ali or Muhammad Ali, as Muhammad and his namesake Islam is responsible for the death toll far exceeding the millions Hitler had exterminated. The name Hitler is responsible for tens of millions of deaths. The name of Muhammad is responsible for hundreds of millions of deaths in history.
Yes.
So Muhammad trumps Hitler by comparison.
Yes.
But that won't happen because it's not politically correct.
Right.
And then
yes.
I decided, here's what John Wesley had to say. He's about Muhammadism, and he's the founder of, Methodist first, but that's the basic foundation of Methodists and even the Nazarene Church. And John Wesley on Islam, in quotes, "Ever since the religion of Islam appeared in the world, the espousers of it have been as wolves and tigers to all other nations, rending and tearing all that fell into their merciless paws and grinding them with their iron teeth, that numberless cities are razed from the foundation, and only their name remaining, that many countries which were once the garden of God are now a desolate wilderness, and so many once numerous and powerful nations are vanished from the earth. Such was and is at this day the rage, the fury, the revenge of these destroyers of humankind." And that's from...
Wow.
John Wesley's Doctrine of Original Sin, Works 1841, chapter 9, page 205. And then I won't read all these, but I'm just going to give you a couple proofs, read from, actually quotes from the Quran, this doctor, this psychiatrist, thinks that... these terrorists, these Muslim terrorists, it's not really a religious issue. It's that these people are just insane and you know, what do they call those terms they use in psychiatry?
Well, he hasn't read their book.
Psychopath or whatever. It's not a religious question, and so I protested to that. Not that there aren't some out there that aren't in fact insane. That I said, no, these are the marching orders for Islam right from their own Quran. Just read a couple. We've done this before, talked about it. And in my second book on Rick Warren's Global Peace Plan versus Scripture, I talk about this, comparing Islam to Scripture. Here's just one. let's see. Regarding infidels, unbelievers, they are the Muslims' inveterate enemies. Muslims are to arrest, besiege them, lie in ambush everywhere. Surah 9:5. They are to seize them, put them to death where you find them. Kill them wherever you find them. Seek out the enemies of Islam relentlessly, Surah 9, 490. Fight them until Islam reigns supreme, Surah 9:193. Cut off their heads and cut off the lips, tips of their fingers, Surah 8:12.
Wow.
And there's just a whole long string of them here. But that's one of the main ones. Here's one more, Surah 534. Anyone who fights against Allah or renounces Islam in favor of another religion shall be put to death or crucified or have their hands and feet cut off alternative sides. And there's just tons of them. Craig Wynn wrote as Prophet of Doom, and not only the teachings of Muhammad Islam, the book is about 3 inches thick, and it has all of the actual accounts and quotations and transcripts of throughout history of what Muhammad and his warriors have done in the name of what a religion of peace.
Wow. That sounds like a great book to do research with also.
Yeah, another great author. So I said, go ahead and outlaw naming your child Hitler and remove the children from their parents who named themselves Hitler, but be sure to do the same to anyone whose names are Ali or Muhammad, so you won't be accused of being a hypocrite. And then I gave him the links to Anne Barnhart's description of this, just horrific things that are. I thought a lot of this was just simply these wackos just did things in the name of their religion, and certainly the Christian Crusades did a lot of horrific acts, and they did that in the name of Jesus, and that was bad too. The difference is that they can't do it with the authority. The Crusades were not done with the authority of Scripture or anything Jesus taught.
Oh no.
But with Islam, it is written down as the commands of their marching orders. So this lady that was wary on an airplane because of people looking at her, it's interesting. When we had communism, we had these plants in the United States, and we really didn't know who a communist was. Some of them will actually preach at universities and stuff, but as a whole, they were plants in the government. We had the hearings, remember the communist hearings?
Oh yeah. I thought he was really trying to expose something, but of course,
yeah,
they
made fun of him for a long, long time.
Yeah, they did.
Vindicated in the end. I can't remember. He was a senator. I can't remember his name. But
McCarthy.
Pardon?
Joe McCarthy.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. The Joe McCarthy.
Yeah.
And so these things, there were a lot of communists. At least enough in there to do some damage, but for the most part,
we didn't know who they were.
But
yeah.
But with people going around wearing these black curtains on their head, going into groceries and stores and stuff, they are. If they ever follow through and they're given an order, they would have to do it. But at least we would know who a lot of them are because they do identify.
Oh yeah, they don't disguise themselves. No.
So that's very, very different in that respect. So I close with, and Rick Warren's can still claim Islam as a religion of peace and form his global alliance peace plan with them. It certainly is not a religion of peace to the children described in this video by Anne Barnhart. So that's how I left that one.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if you get a reply. I would be very curious to
see
if
they answer you. Yeah, I'll be sure to tell
you.
Usually
they don't answer. They were doing these exposés a few months ago about this, what they were calling a terrible doctor that was linking autism to vaccines, and they were saying, well, there's no proof that it was ever linked to autism, a vaccine, and then there is scientific proof that they are linked to autism vaccinations. And when I tried to reach Fox News and leave a message there with O'Reilly and with Hannity, and then I called over to CNN and tried to leave a message with the disinformation agent, Anderson Cooper. And, of course, they don't pay any attention to that. They don't report the news as it really is for the most part. It's very one-sided. So when there was a study done by a man, I think Dan Olmsted, and you can find him on the internet, where he said that there wasn't one case of autism and never vaccinated Amish children. So, but you don't hear the news reported accurately. So that's why we do programs like this, because we try to report the news.
As my mom has often told me, the term, she didn't make it up, but I learned it from her. They are hoisted by their own petard. We don't have to make up, dig up, really, information. We just have to make known their own published statements, their own
right.
published doctrine, their own published scriptures that they keep touting. And at some point, some like Ahmadinejad, people say something loud enough and long enough, at some point you actually have to believe they do in fact intend to do what they say they're going to do. Hitler ended up doing what he said he was going to do, and so we shouldn't doubt that this leader in Iran is going to do to take out Israel if he can, and they, God is in control. So it's if he wants to put an umbrella over Israel, you can even send intercontinental ballistic missiles to completely vaporize the land and turn it into blacktop. But if God puts an umbrella there, nothing's going to happen. And
yeah.
There is going to be a war, and two-thirds of the Jews, as it says in the scriptures, will be killed in judgments there. But the Lord will preserve a third that's a remnant there. So when they say the scripture that all Israel will be saved as it is written, well, it doesn't mean all. It means like all of a country or all of a group. It doesn't mean every single last one, because after all, Judas was a Jew.
Yeah.
After all, we got a lot of diabolical leaders that in communism and things that were Jewish. And even Hitler was partly Jewish.
Yes, I lost my connection with James. So I'll have to wait until James calls back in, because we were cut off for some reason. But anyway, James, I hope you'll call back in, because we lost our connection. Interesting part of the conversation there when we did lose James. But anyway, we'll be waiting for him to call back in. That's why we want to tell you, don't believe everything you hear on TV. Even don't believe everything you hear at church, because you should always examine everything with scripture. I always find it interesting when people tell me, don't judge. Well, you have to be able to judge righteously. I mean, the Bible does tell us to use our mind, to use our brain, and if anyone comes to you preaching another gospel, we're not supposed to accept that person. We're supposed to reject it. So Jesus Christ did give us a mind, and we renew our mind with the Word of God. Hi, James.
We have power outage up here. I lost you.
Oh, yeah?
At first, I thought it was the Homeland Security, because our website was visited a few times by them. And,
oh, really?
And I thought I was being censored. And after all, Rupert Murdoch, or not Rupert Murdoch, Maybe it was Rupert Murdoch. I get names mixed up over there in the United Kingdom, but
When I tell people that my birdseed was confiscated for further testing by a government laboratory, they say to me, "No, you're kidding." I'm not kidding. I mean, you know, I thought I was actually in an insane asylum or something when I was called by somebody from UPS and told that my bird seed was sent to a government laboratory for further testing. I couldn't believe it. I can't actually believe what's happening. So, people have to be diligent.
Well, you should be happy that you have this radio show. As long as you have a voice, as they say in the Book of Acts, you do what you must do, but we will not be silenced.
No, that's it. As long as God gives us this opportunity to use the air to get His message out,
Amen.
Thank God that these programs are there and they're archived for the future. And people can take them and also record them if they like. I mean, I don't have a copyright on any of my programs. So if you'd like to reproduce them to give to other people, you can do that. But
that's great to know. I'm glad I know that. I'll sure our webmaster knows. And we've always had great interviews, and you make it so natural. You're such a great hostess.
Thanks.
You can quote me, by the way, and put that on your slide if you want to.
All right, I will. I think it's important for us to have a voice, and I see that, actually the voice is growing because so many other people have become disillusioned with the things that are happening in the church and the way the gospel is being presented to a lost and dying world.
Speaking of that, there's a couple other things we maybe talk about. I got in really hot water from some people and some pastors that would, when I was calling John Piper apostate, who had Rick Warren speak at his Desire and God conference recently and went back.
Well, explain to people exactly who John Piper is in case they don't know, because he's not a very familiar name to most people.
He's a giant in the Reformed circles of Christianity. He's been pastor at Bethlehem Church in Minneapolis, St. Paul, although he presently isn't. He's still a main figure there, and he runs the Desiring God conferences and in Minnesota, and he brings in major speakers all over the world, and he also goes to speak at the Lausanne Covenant conference, which is ecumenical.
Oh.
And so John Piper, if you don't mind, I'm going to read this because, it would be one thing for me to read 300 pages because I've been accused of being verbose and can't you cut to the chase. So I'm trying to be better at that, Susan. But maybe that's why you made this program wanted an hour and a half, because you know I'm long-winded.
Well, I knew that, we haven't talked in a long time, so you'd have so many interesting things to tell people, which you always do. And the topics that you had on your new DVD, Making Merchandise of Men's Souls, are so really vast. How could you even really cover it in an hour and a half? But I wanted the listeners and to have this information for themselves and then to share with others, because we learn from each other. You know things that I don't know, and you spend your time doing research, and you spent many, many hours doing research for your books and for your teachings.
Well,
so,
thank you. But you know, it is so hard to be 100% right all the time. In my book, I just got an email from a very nice lady that of all the people that we had read my book, the scholars all over the world, Rick, my book, Who's Driving the Purpose-Driven Church, which went through several printings, is now out of print, but it's a lot of it's available online and
on Amazon.
Whoever wrote who the editors or the elders that could have gone through Rick Warren's book and caught a host of errors didn't do that, and even after several editions and reprintings that could have been fixed, nothing that of the sort was ever done. And you know, scripture is infallible, but boy, is it hard to write even a one-page article and be infallible. It's impossible. It's wonder why the Lord chooses us to be in discernment or mark false teachers. So even after all the people that went over that read my book, thousands of that have read it, all the scholars that went over the manuscript before it was released, all the editors at Southwest Radio, that after all these years, and it's been several now, I just get an email. I won't mention her name, and I'm going to read it. What she wrote, just in case you have never been apprised of an error on page 108 of the above referenced book, you quote Philippians 4:8 as Philemon 4:8. And I love getting this correction. But first, it's humbling. But the you know when I go on the attack all the time of all these false teachings that no intent of course was to teach anything falsely, but this is just a typo as a correction. But all the seminary graduates, people have been in ministry 30, 40, 50 years, discernment people, none of them caught that mistake. So
yeah.
My hats off to her.
She was really reading.
God picked who wrote scripture as a very select people, very small people, number of people did that, and we none of us can do that. And so that is an error. It's like a typo. People could check it out and then confirm and read the right one. But I say that to show you that I'm open to correction, and if I did taught something falsely with all those people that are listening to me and I've stumbled them, I immediately want to know, and if am I wrong, I'd repent myself.
Of course. And that's the way we all should be, but it seems like when you try to make a correction with many of these false teachers, they become very offended that you would even mention it. And when I see some of the comments that I get on YouTube, and I don't engage these people because I realize that if you try to engage them, it would make them angrier. Mm-hmm. But you can see how this whole thing is falling into place where the true believers are really going to be hated, hated merely for teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ with sincerity, without any ulterior motives, without seed faith sowing and all that foolishness that's going on that's being portrayed as Christianity, but that we actually do care about people and we care about what we say to them. And the Bible says to be quick to repent, so everyone should be that way.
Well, I really wrestled with this because I'll share more at another radio show maybe with you, but I briefly was, let's see, I said that John Piper was apostate who was promoting Rick Warren and saying standing with him and agreeing with what he said. He read his book and agrees with it. And these people and these pastors say to me, well, I won't mark John Piper unless you can produce evidence that he actually preached anything that's false doctrine or wrote in any of his articles or books any false teachings.
Uh-huh.
So unless you can do that, I'm not going to mark him, and I'm sure upset at you for calling him apostate.
Yeah.
And one person wrote me and said that you can't call John Piper apostate because that's a permanent state beyond which you cannot repent or recover, that it's a rejection of the faith, and it can mean that, but as a whole, it also means people that are doing anything to depart from the faith, whether by either doctrine or promoting somebody. And so he was out to take me out, one of these people, and that said I had to repent for calling him apostate.
That's the way it's going to be, is that they are not upset with the apostates for teaching false doctrine, for leading people astray. No, they're upset with the people that are pointing it out. But that is a
truth
of mind.
Apostle
the end
John,
time.
John, Paul said, I am now therefore the enemy, me, because I tell you the truth.
Yeah.
But this is a short letter I wrote to, I wrote this to the last letter I'll write them, but I wrote it to the now present pastor, Sam Crabtree, and the elders of Bethlehem Church, the board of directors of Desiring God, and the council of the council members of the Global Coalition, Gospel Coalition, I mean. In the follow-up to my last biblical request to you regarding John Piper requesting that he substantiate his charges of slander by authors of Christian discernment ministries, it has been more than 2 weeks to receive a response as to your intentions, which is sufficient time. Additional proof, Rick Warren, John Piper are in an unholy alliance, and Piper's charges of slander. Here's what John Piper says. At root, I think Rick Warren is theologically and doctrinally sound. Piper, I hope it does, mainly appreciative, because frankly, I am appalled at the kinds of slanders that have been brought against this book by people whose methods of critique, if they were consistently applied to the Bible, would undo it as the Word of God. I'm one of these reform types, and my type tends to get on your case pretty often. And when I read the book, I thought, what's the issue here? So, et cetera, he goes. And I have that from Apprising Ministries. God has that quote. And I have an article on actually going over the entire transcription. You can actually view the video of the question and answers period this past summer when Rick Warren was a speaker at John Piper's Desire.
Oh, is it on YouTube?
In the question and answer series that John Piper hosted and had a number of other leaders from around the country, pastors, on this panel. And I wrote about that. So you can go to my website, perfectpeaceplan.com, and search for the article of where, or you can just type in a Google search engine, John Piper, Rick Warren, James Sundquist, public rebuke, and it'll come up. You can find it. So to follow through, I didn't finish the letter here. Piper has failed to respond to a single appeal that I sent him even years ago. I wish to thank Dr. Robert Morey for bravely and without cowardice marking Rick Warren as diabolical on Gianna Hayes' New World Order radio program October 12, 2011, and warning the church at large about him, which he also did on his website. I also await the Gospel Coalition Council and Bethlehem Church to do the same and publicly mark Rick Warren. So your timely response will be in order. And I told them that I'd be going on a number of national radio programs starting today with this update and account.
Yes.
Now, if then I have now we had to go and, oh, by the way, because of a blizzard in the Northeast my wife isn't teaching from 2 to 2:30. So you won't hear
so there,
any
there is a big blizzard there. Are you having a lot of snow?
Yeah, I just arrived a couple hours ago.
And
get several inches, which is a record. And I think God has a great sense of humor with these Obamaite, if you want to call it, Wall Street Journal protest that said these people camped out there. They say they're going to stay. That God brings a snowstorm to New York City, and there's never been one in October in the history of record keeping this early.
And so I
just was sort of halfway amused that God has such a great sense of humor.
Yeah, we'll see how long they stay out there in the cold and snow. I don't think so.
Yeah, and like a snowstorm in October in New York City and this global warming.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you just got to have a sense of humor, Susan.
I know. I couldn't believe it myself how fast the temperatures were dropping there for October.
This is just really a great theological question regarding this particular accusation on John Piper. And so I had to ask a few questions. It's okay. I don't practice sorcery, therefore I'm not guilty. I just promote a sorcery a conference, and I agree, I say I agree with everything they said at the sorcery conference, but I didn't actually specifically write any techniques for practicing sorcery, no palm reading techniques, no schooling and classes in astrology and how to read your horoscope, but I just promoted them. Therefore, I am not guilty.
Now, did he actually have people there that were doing this?
I'm using an analogy about the sorcery,
okay.
This thing. See, the argument is that Rick Warren or John Piper did not say, preach anything or write anything that's directly false doctrine, false teaching. Therefore, I cannot mark him. And so I quoted, what I'm saying is, John Piper is guilty and you must mark him. Even if he said nothing but simply had him based on John, let's see, which John I should give you. Second John, one second here. Sorry for the delay on reading this actually to you. But the point is that one of the epistles of John, it says that if you even invite this person into your house, you share in their iniquity. So I'm saying, okay, it's not just what you say, but it's what you do. Whether or not you should mark somebody as a false teacher or an apostate. That was this big battle. And by the way, John Piper, he's promoted three principalities, Rick Warren, Leonard Sweet.
Had
him as a speaker at his 2006 Desiring God conference.
Oh, dear.
He promotes Richard Foster all over the place.
And
I got a letter quoting a scripture saying I'm the one that's warped and sinful.
Yeah.
For exposing this.
Yeah.
And this is scary because this is pastors siding with the enemy or defending the enemy or attacking the messenger.
Well, it's a good way to lose friends or people that claim to be your friends anyway. But
I just baffled at the inconsistency in their arguments.
Well, it doesn't. You don't have to have a PhD to figure out who Richard Foster is or Leonard Sweet. You
right.
just have to go and read one or two of their articles and know where they're coming from. So you don't even have to spend that much time studying it. Anyone that would promote these people, yes, they should be called into question because they're universalists. They don't believe in hell. They preach another gospel.
Well, I wrote down here, I wrote a couple more things, if you don't mind, Susan. Where, how do you determine how long your radio show can be today?
Well, it's actually today an hour and a half.
How are we doing time-wise? How much time we have left?
We have 19 minutes.
Okay. Even if we get no time left, we still accomplished a lot, didn't we?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we still have
Here's some
of
the questions. Let's see here. Which one is the person whose actions are warped and sinful? The one who obeys Paul, or the one who quenches the spirit and does the opposite, then attacks the messenger as though they are the enemy because they tell them the truth? The one who challenges them because at least one of them is not telling the truth and are caught red-handed, or the one who shows contempt for one who would dare challenge a pastor? The one who remains silent in the face of iniquity, or the vigilant watchman on the wall who warns a flock, who are the wolves, are... And commends a soldier for being a good Berean and watchman on the wall. Let's see. So I just go on. Which one of these should be marked, and which one should be not marked? And so I can kind of conclude a little bit with toward the bottom here. This is soon coming out. You're the first to hear it. I write at the end here. It's kind of a warning and final conclusion. If Warren is a heretic and Piper agrees with Warren, then Piper is a heretic, and both must be marked for separation, that all might fear the Lord. This scripture warns, oh, here's the one from John, Susan. Warning captures this axiom, 2 John 1:10 and 11. If there any come unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house.
Yeah.
Neither bid him Godspeed. But it's okay to receive him into your church and give and surrender your pulpit to him.
Yes.
For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. So before you Velcro yourself to John Piper, who has Velcroed himself to Rick Warren, or say that I am safe because I am not directly Velcroed to Warren, or Velcro yourself to a pastor who retaliates against or deserts the messenger, or won't mark and separate himself and rip off the Velcro from Piper, I remind you of this severe mercy warning by Jesus Christ himself against stumbling your brother, found in three of the four Gospels. Matthew 18:6 puts it this way, but whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. And so I think when I was baffled whether or not I should, it was okay what I called him, and then I have defended it and refuted what they said. And so I think that even if you, you're certainly guilty if you promote and write and preach false teaching or write books about it.
Yes.
But you're guilty if you promote somebody that is a false teacher and join with them and form an unholy alliance. If anything, the only difference is one isn't confusing and the other causes confusion in the camp. And so you have, I would not want one of those soldiers in my unit when I was in the military in 1970 and 71. I would be afraid that their reckless disregard of defending and protecting their own unit, that I might find myself with a hole in my head from friendly fire.
Oh, right. Well, that's a good way to put it, because we see that happening so much today. But we know that, you know, thank God for the internet, because we can find friends there, people that are like-minded, that take a stand for Jesus Christ, and we're not afraid to expose false teachers and the wolves that have come in. And it's very, very sad when actually a pastor of a church won't take a stand to protect the people in his own congregation from these false teachings. And
aren't they not only they're singularly guilty for promoting them, but they're double guilty if they don't warn and defend their own flock, and then they're triply guilty when they go out and attack and accuse the people that just simply shared this information of being the enemy.
Well, it's a form of intimidation.
Or rebuke or such.
They try to make you feel that, you're
sorry,
doing something
I missed that.
Wrong, and then they try to shun you, and so supposedly the shunning is supposed to make you repent and stop doing what you're doing, but it doesn't matter who shuns you, because the only one that's important is Jesus Christ. That he's important, and what he's done for us, we can never forget how he's changed us.
Amen. We're all sinners and short of the glory of God.
That's right. But we don't ever take the gospel and use it, like you said, making merchandise of men's souls, to take it and not to tell people the truth. Why, we have a Bible. We know what it says. We spend time reading it. And then we can't deny what the Bible says. What's the sense of being a Bible teacher or being on the internet and telling people about the Bible and about Jesus if we're not going to tell people the truth of everything that it says and all the ways that we should live? And it's just so important. I think that the days we're living in, and I find it, I'm always amazed every day to see that how people come against people that are trying to tell the truth, and how they do hate you for doing it. But we have nothing against these people personally. It's not personal attacks. It's just that they aren't teaching the truth of God's word, and that's the only thing that we know that is absolute, is God's word. We know it's true, and we can't take it and make up stories and fairy tales and then tell people that this is God's word. This is what it says, when it doesn't say that. We have absolute truth.
It's getting very, very subtle. When I listen to this doctor, a blow that wrote a book with Glenn Beck that is just laced with New Age mysticism, etc., and he wrote an article. It was Jesus, the first psychiatrist, and he really tips his hand as to what Christ and what the truth is, and it's so subtle. When you read it, you could see how you could easily be led astray. That's why
it's very easy
on making the distinction, so we would be able to identify a false teacher. When you start redefining terms and people don't know what the real definition is, then they go along with, as you put it, these myths and wives' tales.
yes. That the Bible calls it fables. And most people, when you find that most people that go to church or they don't read the Bible for themselves, they merely go there on Sunday and listen to a sermon. And then maybe they turn on the TV and they're listening to some TV preacher, but they don't actually crack the book open themselves to find out what it says. But we have to do that, especially in the times we're living in, because there's so many false teachers out there that claim to know the Word of God, and they don't know it. I have to scream at the TV sometime and say, well, if you're going to be a Bible teacher, then why don't you read it and find out what it really says? Don't get up there and make stuff up about what it says. And I want to encourage everyone that's listening to this program that you take your Bible and you spend time reading it and find out what thus saith the Lord, because anybody can come to you and say, this is what the Bible says, and it doesn't really say that. And you have to be able to stand up for the truth and be a good Berean.
And this lady, one that just wrote me, bless her heart, I salute her. I wish I could say her name. Maybe sometime
I'll
ask her.
And it's a good thing. That's okay, it's a small thing. But, yeah, well, we should use the correct scriptures when we're writing a book or an article, and to be able to quote the scripture properly. Very, very important in these days that we're in. And everybody's got a ministry out there. Everybody's got something to do for the Lord. God doesn't have any special people that are out there with special anointings and special insights into the Word of God. Just some brothers and sisters spend more time on topics like James does. He spends a lot more time on his topics than I ever spent doing the research that he's done, that he's written two books about the errors of Rick Warren. Well, I haven't written two books about the errors of Rick Warren. I haven't spent 100 hours or more, which I'm sure James did, to do his research. He didn't
more like 1,000 or 10,000, who knows?
Yeah. He didn't just wake up one day and say, well, I think I'm going to write an article about Rick Warren and then just, you know, spend 10 minutes on the internet looking things up and writing it down. He spent many, many hours in his research. Anybody, I've written small books, very small. And I know how many hours I spent doing the research to write a small book. So I have to admire and give people credit that actually take time to write a book. And a workman is worthy of his hire. I have no problem with anyone selling a book. You worked to write that book, and you deserve the compensation. So I have no problem with someone being an author and earning a living. I think it's a good way to earn a living. So we have people in the body of Christ that have spent time doing research. Like I said, someone like James that's actually written two books, Who's Driving the Purpose-Driven Church and the Global Peace Plan.
You know, my writing, Susan, is I maybe took it to a greater length than I think the person that has studied the Show Yourself Approved and been doing it more and more years, and people like Dr. Robert Morey, who's written, I think, about some 50 or 60 books and reads and writes Hebrew and Greek. You say you haven't written two. Well, I haven't written 50. I feel like I have sometimes. But basically, all of us are doing what every Christian should do and that Paul commended the Bereans for, which was, he said to them, study. He said, he commended them. They were more noble than the Thessalonians because they searched the scriptures to see if these things be true.
Right.
Also commanded us to test the spirits to see if they be of God. And, of course, Jesus Christ went in great detail about giving how we were going to be deceived, and kept warning us.
He did.
And so when I go about doing the same thing, though, then I'm a villain. And if I'm I haven't had to be corrected too often in the writing. Partly is because if it's written down, I have a lot of scholars and people go over my manuscripts, to ensure that that doesn't happen. But when I'm on the radio, I can misspeak, misstep, or I'm thinking about something else and say something. I'd listen to the tape, and I just couldn't believe I said that.
And so,
but I get corrected. I once taught that Jonah, there's a scripture in there that said the 120,000 people did not know their left hand from their right hand. And I thought, I took that so literal that I said, well, these people were so out of it, or, you know, that their minds were just gone, and that they're totally reprobate, or they just, you know, they're like crazy or whatever. You know, if somebody doesn't know their left hand from their right hand, they're really, really in bad shape. And because I was going totally literally. But a scholar, a friend of mine, pointed out that that isn't what it means in Hebrew. It just simply means that's a reference to when they were talking about children. So what that's really saying is there's 120,000 people, or children, in Nineveh.
Oh,
totally
yeah.
Different meaning.
Yeah.
So what could I say? I was corrected and happy to have been.
Well, that's what the Bible says, iron sharpens iron.
They get to a point where they either been a pastor too long, or they drank some kind of a Kool-Aid, because they get to a place where there's some kind of authority that they think they're diplomatically immune. They're touching God's anointed. If you ever refuse,
well,
correct them. There's something, they cross a line. I pray I never cross that line.
No, I pray I never cross that line either. But I like when, I'm always reminded that you should stay small in your own eyes. And it's always good to stay small. And I don't care if I like to stay small, because I don't want to fall into the trap. That's it. It's kind of like a political game. It almost becomes politics in the churches today, where the pastor believes he's in the supreme authority there, and he cannot be questioned. He cannot be called by his first name. He cannot be treated like everyone else in the congregation. And there's a danger there, because there isn't any hierarchy in the body of Christ. The Bible clearly speaks against it with the doctrines of the Nicolaitans, and that's the doctrine that the Bible says that God hates in Revelation, where there's a laity.
Paul even rebukes those that were trying to tell him about who they followed. I follow Apollos. I follow Paul. Now, you think he'd be excited to say, well, I'm upset that you said you were a follower of Apollos, because it wasn't me, but because since you said that you're a follower of me, then I'm stroked and good job. No, he nuked even them for making raising him up too high. And in Galatians, saying that if I or an angel from heaven preach another gospel, let them be eternally damned. So he held himself accountable, and it's just amazing that he would do that. But the Christian leaders, did they say, I have been elevated to the station or the hierarchy on the pyramid or whatever, which I cannot be corrected. And that because God has raised me up, pastor is master, and that's where that goes.
Well, we're seeing so much of it, and we're just seeing so much of it. But, I mean, I thank God for people like you and so many of my other guests that have come on the program, and so many of the brothers and sisters that are out there with their own ministries and trying to do something for Jesus Christ. Well, we just have about a minute left now, James, so I'd like we just close out the program with a word of prayer, please.
You want me to?
Yes.
Okay. Mighty God, you're just so grateful for your truth. The truth will set us free, and we pray that all those that are twisted and perverted the truth and corrupted it, that you'd move upon their hearts, that they would repent and do it publicly, and do it with humility, and that we would all do that when we are wrong, Lord. And I just pray that you open up the ears to the listeners to have a hunger for your truth and to study the scriptures, that to see if these things be true, and to be good defenders of the faith, and knowing that it's a loving thing to tell the truth, even when it hurts, versus it being a nuke. And I'm so grateful for Susan and her radio show and her diligence, and just pour out your favor upon her and her family and her ministry, Lord. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, James. It was great to talk with you again. And everybody, look forward to James' DVD will be coming out in a few weeks. It's called Making Merchandise of Men's Souls. And you can find also him on his Facebook page to get more information. His books are on Amazon and his website, perfectpeaceplan.com. And is it Rock?
Rock
Your
Salt.
Rock Salt. It always reminds me of snow when I think about Rock Salt. But it's salty. He's salty, James. And anyway, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in today. God bless you. Stay strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And be blessed. Thanks a lot, James. We'll be talking soon, okay?
God bless.
Bye-bye. Bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.